Right, tap of him Alice on the Alice in Kuvis. The mission tells us like this. Ha Omer Pititi Esbito Shaploni. Someone says that I seduced so and so's daughter. So then Mishalim Boshe Subagama Piasma. Morning, Evan.
Morning.
We just started the Mishnah Mem Aleph. So it says that someone who seduces, someone who admits, confesses to seducing the daughter of so and so, some random person, but there are no witnesses about that, right? So they're basically incriminating themselves. So the Gemara says, as the Mishnah says, Mishalim Boshe Subagama Piasmo. You can pay the embarrassment and devaluing payment based on your own testimony, but ain't Mishalim Kenas.
I mean, so is the issue here that he's admitting to sort of the lesser, in other words,
you're saying amigos,
as opposed to violating, like raping her, it was a seduction.
Yeah, I don't. You're saying why you would be absolved from part of the payment?
No, I'm not asking a question for question's sake. I'm sort of saying, is the point here?
I'm not sure. I think there's a concept called modet b'knas pater, which is that if somebody admits or confesses that they'd be obligated to a punitive damage, so then we don't enforce it, because the person could have said nothing and just gotten away with everything. So when the payment is a reimbursement, right, you're making up for that which you defiled, destroyed, whatever it might be. So then you still have to pay that. That thing still has to be paid back. But when it's just a punitive payment, so then we're going to say we're not punishing you. It's not in paying back of any specific thing that you're trying to fix, that you have to fix.
Okay.
So is that punishment we're not going to enforce? I had this question on an important test that I once took. What's the difference between mamon and knas? And this is the answer. A modet b'knas pater, someone who admits or confesses to a knas penalty, so then we do not enforce it. So ha'omer ganas, someone who says, I stole, mishalim esakeren al piatmo. You pay the principal of what you stole, right? Again, that's a compensatory damage. Ve'ein mishalim tashlumi kefel, but you don't do double, which is a knas. Ve'tashlumi arba v'chamisha, right? Any multiples of that which you stole, those are considered kanas payments, punitive payments, and therefore we do not obligate you to pay them. Hey, Missouria Sloni, similarly, if you said, my ox killed so-and-so. Oh, Shora Shaploni, or someone else, so-and-so's the ox. Hareza Mishalim Alpiatzmo. So there again, you pay for the reimbursement, the compensatory damage. But Hamis Shori Avdo Shelploni, Ein Mishalim Al Pi Atzmo. If you say that my ox gored and killed the servant of so and so,
it notes here it says a Canaanite, so I'm assuming it means non-Jewish.
Yeah. So then you do not pay based on your own testimony, because that is also considered a punitive payment. I don't know why, but okay. Zekhlal, it's basically what we said yesterday, because the monetary value doesn't change. Zekhlal, kol mishalim yesterday, al-masha hizik. Anyone who would have to pay more than what he damaged, so then ain't mishalim al-piyazma, you don't have to pay. I mean, that's punitive damage, it's not compensatory. Says the Gemara of listening anasti, why doesn't it say to say the case of rape? The Gemara says, lo mi bai kamar, lo mi bai anasti, lo kapagim la. It's not even a question when a person would say, I raped. And in that case, you would not have any pagam, because, I mean, any devaluing of her decision-making, because she didn't decide that. That was something that was forced upon her. So then for that, of course, the Mishalim Boshes of pagam of Piatmo. So surely, you would have to pay aval piti deka pagimla pititi, when this person says I seduced her, and therefore you have exposed her decision making, her reputation has gone down. So then ema lo mishalim al piatzmo, let us think that maybe he would not be believed to make her pay, because maybe that's not as much as a punitive as much as it is compensatory. Because you actually did do something to damage her. Kamash Milan, even that is considered like a kanas. I'm not really sure if that's the right way to say it, but okay. So now this is Bloki Aitana. Amrish is not like the following opinion. So Av Bosh Chesu Pagam Enu Shalom Piatzmel Lo Kol Himenu Sheif Kom Bito Shel Ploni. Even Boshes and Pagam, we wouldn't make them pay, because not we don't believe to the extent that it'll ruin her reputation, we're not going to make him pay, stuff like that. Lo kol himenu shigifko mbito shalponi. Right, it's going to be basically asked to do so-and-so, and therefore so-and-so is going to get a bad reputation because of it.
In other words, this guy would be willing to pay the fine just to humiliate this girl, and we want to avoid that.
Right, he's paying for the bad press. Stuff like that. Okay. I only repavla by nichalala ditanai. Let's say she agrees, I don't care about a bad reputation, give me the money. Dilma lo nichalay lavia. Someone says, no, maybe it's still going to be bad for her father. So she can't decide what her father's reputation should be. So someone says, well, okay, fine, nichalay lavia. Let's say it's good for him too, Mai. Maybe there are other people in the family. So it's impossible that there's not one person. This is a three-way negative statement. It's impossible that there's not one person who doesn't like it. Maybe there's always going to be a person who doesn't like it. And therefore, you're always going to, according to Rabbi Shimon, Ben Yehuda, according from Rabbi Shimon, you would always not pay the money when a person admits to themselves. How am I going to have to Mishan as a Karen? Someone says, I stole, you pay the principal, but not the extras. Itmar, Palga, Nizka. What about a half damage, which is given, which is produced by the goring of an ox? So is that considered Kanas or Mamon? Repapam, Palga, Nizka, Mamona. That's reimbursement, that's compensatory. Rav Huna Bered, Rav Yeshua Amar, Palga Nizka Knesa. That Chazi Nezek, which is the phrase in Bava Kama for it, Chazi Nezek, you pay half of the damage, right? We were talking about a case where the ox went off on its own, and we could not have predicted it. This was not a rambunctious or hostile ox, right? There's no reason that we should have known that this ox would have done such a thing. And we were therefore not responsible to, not liable for any out of the ordinary occurrences. So when this ox gores, so it's true that we're responsible to the extent that we should have been, that we were negligent, which is what we consider only half the damaged. However, once they do it two or three times, so then they're considered a shor mu'ah, then you have to pay full damages because you should have known better. So now we're wondering, what is that chatzi nezek? When we say that, are we really just reimbursing half the damage, or are we saying this is a punitive damage, a punitive payment that you'd have to pay at least half? So Rav Papa Amar Pagan is coming Monik Sever Stam Shvarim Lav Bechazka Shimor Kaimi. Rav Papa says that it's chatzi nezek is considered to be a mamon payment, compensatory. Why? Because most a default ox is not considered someone who needs to be guarded. Meaning he's not naturally guarded. An ox is the type of creature who, you know, every once in a while you hear one of these crazy news stories where someone like brought a monkey into their house and was nice to them or whatever, and then like one day wakes up and like, you know, tears their face off or something like that. Some animals are just naturally violent, right? If they're not in their natural habitat or they're not being properly guarded, so then, you know, it's just a matter of time. So when we have an ox, when you own an ox, you shouldn't assume that it's going to be, you shouldn't assume that it's going to be tame. It's always going to potentially, you know, lash out. So here, I think the reasoning of Rapapa is the ox is inevitably going to gore somebody. Is inevitably going to do something. And therefore, the owner has to have some kind of liability where that which the ox did wasn't just random, but it was an expected occurrence. And therefore, at least the chati nezek is in reimbursement of what the ox did. I'm not sure why the expectation would dictate mamon versus kenas. That's one thing I can't figure out. Uvidin hud, I guess just at a basic level, it's because mamon is more stringent than kenas, that a compensatory payment is always more binding than a kenas, a punitive payment. So here we're saying that you have negligence, so you're going to pay the more stringent. Uvidin hud mishalim kulei, you would think you have to pay the whole thing because of that natural negligence. Rachman hud dechai sulav edakas lo iyad torah. And the Torah is the one, Barachmana is what we're referring to the Torah here. The Rachmana, the Torah is the one that sent it, meaning Hashem, is merciful because the ox has not yet been considered a dangerous animal. Iyad Torah means that the shore has become a muad. It's not yet considered like a default dangerous animal, and therefore the Torah says, okay, you only have to pay half. But Midin, it is a mamon payment. It's more strange than Rav Bridge Rav Yeshua Amar Paganis Kanasa, because of our Stam Shvar Mecheska Shimur Kaini. Oxen, before they actually go out and do anything, are going to be more tame. Uvidin who is alone with Shalom Klal, and really shouldn't pay anything. Rachman who the Kanasa, Kininitre the Torah. And the Torah comes along and says, okay, but we have to punish you a little bit so that next time you don't have to do the same thing. Next time you try to guard the animal. I was just doing chazara in my Mishlei class last night, a book called The Behavioral Code. It talks about the history and efficacy of deterrence, the sort of the methodology of discipline, which is that you have punishments for the sake of preventing other people from doing that thing, or from the same person from doing that thing again, as opposed to compensatory punishments, or preventative punishments from keeping them off the streets, or rehabilitative punishments, right? This is like a deterrent punishment is for the sake of making sure that they don't do it again. So here also, you have to pay something. You have to pay something so that you get the message that you can't just let the ox roam free anymore. Simon, hizik ma behemis kla. Unquote. That means we're going to see one step by step. That is just a memory device, mnemonic. Tanan, hanizik ma mazik b'shashlumin. The one who is damaged and the one who does the damaging has to pay.
They're involved
in the payment. Okay, so meaning there's the person that pays and the person that gets the payment. And that's why it makes sense.
I'm sorry, in the note here, what it says is both have to be involved in the payment, and therefore the Gemara at this point assumes this alludes to the payment for half damages.
Right. We just talked about half damages, so now we're just going to continue the conversation and say that the person who pays and the person who's getting paid are both involved. The person whose ox gores and the person whose property was damaged, both of them are involved in the payment. The money goes from one of their hands to the other. It makes sense if you call that a mumbling payment, a compensatory payment, because that which you damage, you should pay for the person that got the damage. But according to the one who says that the chati nezek is a knas, it's a penalty, so then hash the lav didei kashakil, he's not getting the money, which is compensation for anything that he damaged. right? Compensatory makes sense, you would get it. But if it was punitive, so the punitive should go to the Beis Din or whoever. I don't know who else gets it. Beis Hashlum, and you say, I don't know who gets the Knas payment. I would assume Beis Din. I don't know. Someone says, no, lo nitzcha el l'schas nevela. I don't know what that means. The devaluing of an unkosher animal?
So the depreciation of a carcass that takes place after the animal's death and before the case comes to the court. This loss is borne by the damaged party alone and represents his quote-unquote share of the payment.
I mean, I guess it just means like his property was damaged. I don't know. And that's a mammon issue, not a kenaz issue. I don't know what the difference is.
So, I mean, in looking at the notes, what it's saying, what it sounds like it's saying is an ox gores another animal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's call it another ox, just so
yeah.
We keep things safe. So, when it gores it, there's not just the damage for the, you had a live animal, now it's
right.
A dead animal, but there's also the value of
the
dead body.
That's right.
But the problem is it takes time to get to court,
mm-hmm.
And by the time it gets to court, that carcass is now ruined also. It can't be utilized. And so the question is can the damaged party say, and I also want the damages?
Mm-hmm.
For the fact that I can't utilize the carcass of this animal and it's saying, no, you can't. You can't add a tax on to everything else
mm-hmm.
for the carcass.
That's a general case or that's this case? So Lo Nitzra'el of Chas Nevela, what we're saying is that...
I mean, it says here, talked about in Baba Kama.
Right, no, that makes sense. I'm saying that this line in the Gemara, right, we had just said, how could it be that the victim is involved in the payment if it's a punitive payment? And the Gemara says, oh, no, it's because it's a chas nevela situation.
Right, because he's involved in the payment because he's not getting...
Oh, because
he's not getting the full damages.
Okay. Meaning we're just talking about that extra payment that you would get or wouldn't get for the nevela, for the devaluing of the nevela. So the Gemara says, no, he doesn't get anything for that. Okay, so Gemara says, b'chas nevela, say, no, we already learned that. We learned it in a brayso, which says, tashlumi nezek malam shabalim is taplin b'nevela. You have to figure out, you have to try to sell the animal, and if it is devalued, so it's devalued. Okay, I guess you basically have to incur that penalty on your own. Chad b'tam, chad b'muad. Says Gemara, no. That one is b'tam, one is b'muad. Lutzricha. Diashmi'inan tam. If your daughter told me long the case, the ox of a regular ox, which isn't already assumed to be dangerous, the reason why... The reason why you have to be involved with the carcass and deal with it yourself is because it's not the animal is not yet dangerous, and therefore you can't hold the owner of the ox responsible. About muad the iyad, but the more dangerous animal, who is already primed for goring, so then Amalo, maybe we would say that the Baal does not have to take care of the carcass on his own, rather the damager, the owner of the ox, should have to pay for the devaluing of the nevela. So Ashmalan, both of these sources, right? So while we did say twice, one is referring to a time, one is referring to the Muad. So we want to say, Iashmi and Muad, and if you would have taught the Muad case, where the owner, if the owner would not have to pay even when their ox was dangerous, so then obviously maybe you could say, you should say that the tam, the owner of the tame ox would not have to pay that extra payment for the carcass devaluing. So Mishum become a shalin kule. About Tam, Imalo, because you're paying full damages for the dangerous ox, so then maybe we would say, okay, so, you know, pay the other thing also. We're making you pay everything now. But when it comes to the Tam, when it comes to the tame animal, so then maybe because you're not paying the whole thing, we're not going to pay you more than that. We're going to say, just pay half. And that's all you have to pay. So therefore, it's really, you have to also teach. Sorry, I got that backwards. Once you're paying the whole thing, so maybe we're going to say, oh, we're already paying you enough. We're not going to also tag on the carcass devaluing payment. But when it comes to chasinas, like when you're already only paying half, so then, you know, we're going to make you pay a little more, maybe something like that. Either way, k'mash malan, we don't make them pay anything for the devaluing of the carcass. Tashma, ma bein tam lemuad, shatam mishalim chasinas, like migufo. When it comes to paying the half damage payment for the shor hatam, the tame ox, you evaluate the payment based migufo of the the value of the ox that gorge. However, when it comes to mu'ad, so you pay from the best kind of calculation. Something like that. Velo ketani, but it does not say the difference between shatayim and mishalim al-pi atzmo and mu'ad mishalim al-pi atzmo. It doesn't say that there's any difference between whether you would pay for chatzin as a case or a full as a case. So the Gemara says, no, time of a shy. Maybe it's, you know, it's just living out. My shy, it's the shy. How do you know that this is the one? Shy chatzin kofar. Maybe it's the obligation it's referring to being the same is if it's a chatzin kofar. Half of that which you denied. Something like that. So that's the only thing it left off the list. Not the fact that someone who admits to it or confesses to it would not have to pay. So imishim chazikofa lav shiurahu. If it's because of chazikofa, that's not really leaving it off the list. Hamani Rabbi Yosef Luiz Amar Tam Hashem chazikofa. Maybe it's according to Rav Yossi Aglili, because Rav Yossi Aglili holds that a Tam does pay chatziko for payments. So Tashma, him is Shori es Ploni. Oh, Shori shel Ploni, harizem eshalim al pi atzmo. If somebody says, my ox gored or killed so-and-so, never have to pay for it. Oh, Shori shel Ploni, for the other person's ox. So then you have to pay based on your confession. So my law of a Tam does not refer to a Tam, and therefore, clearly we find that you have to pay chasi nezek based on your own confession. Maybe that's for a dangerous animal. Aval b'tam, my what's the halacha by a Tam? Ein mishalim al pi atzmo. Aval tam b'tam, my ein mishalim al pi atzmo. So when it says, at the tani seifa, by the time the Mishnah says, you don't have to pay the kanas. Avdo shaltoni enu mashalim al piyatsmo niflug minisne b'dida b'madavar morim the muad aval tam enu mashalim al piyatsmo. Why don't you say that distinction in the Mishnah itself? Says the Mishnah, kulu b'muad tamayri. The whole Mishnah is referring to a muad case, and therefore there's no reason to make distinctions. Tashma zak ha'kol mashalim yas shalmashen hizik enu mashalim al piyatsmo. Anyone who would have to pay more than the actual compensation for what he did, so then you don't pay that based on the confession. So he says, "Hapachus mashi hizik mishalim piyatsmo." Anything which is less than it, the full compensation, gives me the full reimbursement, then you would have to pay based on your confession. And that would imply that Chati Nezek also, that's less than what you would pay. So when it says, whatever you literally damaged, that what you'd have to pay for. But a chati nezek could be a knas, and therefore you wouldn't have to pay it. It's not just that you would pay, you pay less for the potential damages, the theoretical damages. It's that you pay less for, you pay that which you do not have to, you only pay for that which you literally damaged. In this case, we're not looking at it as a damage, we're looking at it as a knas. How about pachos mai? What's less? And mishama piyatmo. But you don't, you would think that you would not have to pay for the less because the less is considered to be a kanas. So if that's the case, anyone who's not paying that which he damaged, so then you do not pay based on the confession. And that would imply anything more or less. It just depends on the nature. So it was, yeah, we could have said that in the Mishnah. It could have just been much more clear. If you would just say you base on it whether or not you base the halach on whether or not you are paying for literal damages, as opposed to whether you're paying full or less than full, whatever. So the Gemara says, yes, yufta vilta paganiska kanasa. The halach is a chati nezek, right? When a tame animal gores, so that is considered you pay only half damages, and that's considered a kanas, punitive payment. So wait a second, we just said. The Mishnah, if it meant to talk about kanas, it should have said it differently. So says the Gemara, Tiyufta v'hilchasa, we rejected it and we passed like it? How could that be? So Gemara says, in Tam Amayi Tosa, why is it that it was rejected? Mishim Zalokitani Kamash Hezek, because it doesn't have the right verbiage. And therefore, lo psikole, it's not absolute. That somebody who pays less is always going to pay it in this punitive type. But in the case where the animal damages because and you'd have to pay for chasi nezek based on not the literal goring damage, but because of ancillary damages when the animal walks along the way. We have a halacha that's considered mamon and not kenas, that's compensatory and not considered punitive. That's why the Mishnah doesn't say it. So basically, we do have an answer. We do have an answer as to why it says in that way in the Mishnah. I don't fully understand how that verbiage includes chasin as xeros, but somehow it does. I guess because less than is not always going to be. Solved. 100%. Says Gemara. So now that we've said the chati nezek is considered a kanasa, kabadachal imri, a dog which eats sheep? What is this?
A dog that killed and ate sheep.
Yeah, a dog that killed and ate sheep. Vishunra da achal tarnagoli rav ravei. And a cat which ate a chicken, a big chicken, big rooster. So that mishunahu, that's a abnormal type of thing. V'lo magbinan be'vavel. And you should not collect payments in Babylonia. Because the judges can't distinguish or can't determine that that's something which you should be held liable for. Aval zutre orchehu umagbinan. When the dog or cat in that case goes and damages and kills a smaller version of the sheep or the rooster, so then we will obligate them even bava. Okay, kind of interesting, exception here. The e tafas. If the victim themselves goes over and just takes something of value from the person that damaged them, we don't take away from him. V'i amar. Akbu li zimna l'Eretz Yisrael. Set a time for me that I'm going to go to Eretz Yisrael with this guy, right? Let's go to base in Eretz Yisrael. And if the Babel court system can't handle such a case, so let's take a trip. And then you're going to pay me. Spend a mach be'inan lay. V'lo azil misham tinan lay. And if the person, the damager, the owner of the dog or cat, doesn't want to go to Eretz Yisrael and thereby incriminate himself, so then we excommunicate him. Benkach o benkach misham tinan lay. We're going to excommunicate this guy because we say basically get rid of this dog or this cat. They're clearly dangerous. You shouldn't have dangerous things in your house, whether that's a dog or whether that's a flimsy ladder. You should not have blood in your house, things that cause damages. You should not have in your house. Okay, interesting way to finish off that parak. Hadrach Elinaros. Okay, new Mishnah. I know you don't have it, so you just listen up. The Mishnah says, Nara Shiniftata Boshtov Gama Knasa Shaladiyah. A girl who has, between the ages of started puberty but hasn't completed it, so then all of those payments go to the father. But the hatsar and the general pain that comes from it, bitfusa. The hatsar bitfusa. I don't know, I'm not sure what that means, but the pain, which is beyond that, by a rape case, he would get the money. So Amda Badin, if the girl went up in court and thereby obligated the person, the perpetrator, to pay, so then Ashala Mesa Av Hare Hain Shalav. If the father hasn't died yet, so then the money goes to the father. Mesa Av, however, if he then dies, Hare Hain Shalach, and it goes to the brothers. Sorry, the children, the brothers, who are the children of that father, the brothers of the girl. So lo he speak alamot badina shemesav, if the father dies before they even go to court, hare hein shel atzma. So then she gets it, and not the brothers. The father never sort of got rights to it while he was alive. Amda badin ashla bagra, if they started the court case while she was hitting full puberty, so then hare hein shel av. So then it still goes to the father. If the father dies, then it goes to the brothers. If she becomes mature already fully before they go to court, so again, even if the father's still alive, she becomes independent upon her physical development, and she would get the payments, even though the act happens beforehand. If they didn't collect, so then the father doesn't get it anymore, and then the father dies. Even though they went to the court case, the father is still alive, he doesn't become the rightful owner of that money. He would still forfeit it to the girl, as long as it hadn't been collected yet. Over the page, just one more line. If she lost something, or if she produced something, so then that thing, or the compensation for that thing, is always going to go to the brothers once the father dies in between, before the thing was collected.
What's it talking about when it says, hey, you produce this? I mean,
I'm not sure. Textiles? No.
In other words, she's...
She works or whatever.
Oh, okay.
She worked for the family business. They had some payables that they didn't collect on yet. And then the father dies. So it doesn't go to her just because she made, the shirt. Just because she produced it doesn't mean she gets the money. The brothers still get it.
Okay. All right.
Shkaya.
That wasn't very clear.
Yeah.